Welcome, and thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
I believe Charlie was into that guitar today, wasn't he? Yeah, y'all did a great job. Awesome job. Awesome job. One more announcement for veterans that have been touched by war. There's an organization that's called Quilts of Valor. And if you're one of those veterans that have been touched by war, get somebody to fill this form out. We have several back there, and Quilts of Valor will make a quilt just for that veteran. So if you have somebody like that, just make sure you sign it up and everything. Plus, I have one more. Lori Tipton is here with us today, and she's a member, and her family's here today. She is struggling with the kidney issues, and she needs a kidney replacement. Is that correct? And or she needs the Lord to heal her kidney. I'll take either one of them, right? Amen. So, but I do want to pray for her today. And stand up, Laura, so we'll all know who you are and everything. So, Father, we just thank you for Lori. We thank you for her family. And Lord, you know exactly what needs to be done. Lord, we'll take a healing, and I know she will. So Lord, we'll also take a kidney. So, Father, we just ask you to move in behalf of her life and extend her days on this earth with health. And, Father, we just ask it in Jesus' name. As some of them are laying hands on her now, we just say in Jesus' name, be healed, Lori. Be healed for your well-being and for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Expect it to happen, right? Absolutely. Expect it to happen. Was there anything? Birthdays. I know Brenda Logan. You got a birthday? No. If y'all notice, I didn't have to ask her to stand up. She just popped up and said, praise God, hallelujah. I got another birthday. That's good. Jeff's birthday's today. Just stay standing. It'll be fine. Michael's birthday today. Anybody else? Who? Tuesday. You're going to get in on it today, though, right? I hear you. Lynn Kirkham's birthday. Stand up, Lynn. Thank you so much. We're glad you're here. Anybody else? Any on this side? It's your birthday today. I almost said, have you had a birthday this year? But I almost said it. So no other birthdays. Okay. Let's see. Pastor Charlie, come on up and lead us in happy birthday. Can you do that?
Can I give a shout out to God before we sing that?
Amen.
I'm going to give him the praise because he's for us. You know, he's worthy. And I'll honor and I'll praise. He gave me a word this morning when I woke up this morning. He said, he that dwells in a secret place.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Priestley Rose, her birthday is when? Yesterday?
Yeah. Every day, every
I
give him 10 years. He's been 68 years now.
She's that way whether it's her birthday or not. She really is. She has so much joy and excitement about God. Go ahead, Pastor Charlie.
Okay, everybody sing all the voices. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Well, praise God and pass the ammunition, right? So that's just fine with me. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to be here with you as a body of Christ here in this house. And it's just awesome to see you. And I want to say something about Joanne Norville. That's her last name when she was here. But her and her husband were one of the five couples that founded this church. They got five couples got together and prayed for this church to happen many, many, many years ago. And her husband passed away. Ray, he passed away. And I know she got married, but I don't remember her married name. But we really wanted to remember her, and we have prayed for her, and we still will. But just wanted to let you know that you give honor where honor's due. Without her and Miss Phyllis and those five couples that did that, I wouldn't be here right here, because this place wouldn't be here. So I just want to give God a thank you for these couples that had the vision to have that done. Amen. Amen. I'm going to talk to you today. Last week we talked about being filled with the Spirit and being under the influence of the Holy Spirit, and that is the will of God, that we have so much of the will of God inside us that what we want to do is do His will. We're going to continue to talk about our influence and how we can maximize our influence. Do you know that something is influencing you all the time? You may not adapt to it, but there's influences happening, and you are influencing someone or something or of some group. So this place and this life is not influence neutral. We all have influences, and we all have influences that we've been influenced by, and we have influences extended out from us to influence other people. Today we're going to talk about a little bit more about how to do that. You know, when Jesus came to the earth, he came to save us. He came to die. He had a mission and a commission from the Father to fulfill. And one of those was to bring a word that said, "The kingdom of God is at hand." The kingdom of God is at hand. Now, with those words in that day, and his disciples, their thought process was, "A kingdom of God is at hand. He is going to, what he's going to do, he's going to conquer and overtake Rome. And he's going to establish his own empire." That was the thought of the disciples. That's the reason they just could not figure out when he died. They just, what is wrong here? You know, when he went to the cross, because their assumption was that he's going to take over, he's going to tear down Rome, remove it, not the building, but he's going to take over the empire and establish his own. But that's not the right reason he came. That was a good assumption, but it was a wrong assumption. So he didn't come to set up an empire. He came, he didn't come to set up an earthly empire. He came to set up his eternal, transcendent power. His kingdom is one that is not just not in a building. It's in the presence of God, following God, doing what God wants us to do, no matter where we are. We're not confined to a building. We're in a building today. Thank God for the building, the air conditioning, the seats, the carpet. We thank God for all of that. But we're not confined to this. This is a place where we gather together to learn and to worship and all that. So, but we're not confined to a building. We should never be confined to a building. Wasn't meant that way. You know, so we have to go out of this building and continue to do the kingdom of God and present the kingdom of God to other people. That's our job. That's part of our job. But anyway, he wants us to understand that even though there's power on this earth, there is superior power in his kingdom. Power enough to do what's impossible in the natural kingdom. What's impossible in that, he says, I can do that in my kingdom. And we have him as the King of all kings. He is the God of all gods. He is the Lord of all lords. He is supreme. He is superior. So we have to understand what he's coming for when he returns. Over in Psalm chapter 2, I want you to look at that just for a moment, and we'll start out there. And it says in Psalm chapter 2, why are the nations in an uproar? I read that the other day, and it says, why are the nations in an uproar? And I see nations in an uproar. He said, why are the nations in an uproar, and the peoples dividing a vain thing? Then he goes in verse 2, he said, the kings of the earth. Now here you're talking about the dominions that are on the earth that are kings and have authority and all that kind of stuff. He said, the kings on the earth have take their stand. All of a sudden you begin to say, okay, that's enough. We've had enough, and we're going to take a stand right here. So the kings of the earth are saying, we're taking our stand. We're taking our stand, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, against Jesus, against the Messiah at that time. So they're saying, okay, we're taking a stand. The rulers get together, all the authorities get together, said, okay, we're going to take a stand, and here's what we're going to do. We're against the Lord. You know, there's a lot of people that are against the Lord. There's a lot of people that are against you because you know the Lord. There's a lot of people that are against Christianity. That's what's happening here. They're against the Lord. They're against God. They're against his anointed. And they say, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. Now, and when you look at the fetters are the shackles and the chains and everything. They said, okay. But see, they're not talking about shackles and chains. That's a metaphor for what they were talking about. Because see, they weren't in shackles and chains. But he said, we're going to break that power and the things of God, we're going to break that off of us. And that's what they're saying. In another version, it actually says this, that we're going to break free from God. And we're going to cast loose from the Messiah. So here they are. Here's the kings of the earth getting together, taking counsel against God and against the Messiah. Say, we're done. We've had enough. We're taking a stand. We're not going to put up with all that anymore. We're not going to put up with the talk. We're not going to put up with all this thing about prophecy. We're done with it. But you know, there's some churches that has really, you know, you can call them churches, but there's some churches that God's not welcome. You know why I know that? The Holy Spirit's not welcome. When the Holy Spirit isn't welcome, God's not welcome. You understand what I'm saying? Three in one, they're all God, you know, so it's like one God. When God's not welcome, you begin to have meetings. Listen, you begin to have meetings without Him. Have you ever been in a meeting without Him? I've experienced some of those. Not here, but I've experienced some of those. That, you know, then you wonder, say, where's God in all of this? Well, God, what are you doing in all this? I don't sense your presence. So you begin to see that here's the thing that the nations are in an uproar over the Messiah, over God. They're in an uproar. They're in an uproar today. They're in an uproar today over God. They won't say that, but that's what it is. They won't, you know, they want to do their own thing, do it their own way, without any consequences of anything. So you begin to see that that's happening today. They said, hey, let's break free of God and get loose from this thing called, from this person called the Messiah. But look in verse 6. Verse 6 says, as for me, it said, but as for me, I have installed my king. This is God. He says, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. Say that, my holy mountain. I've made, you know, the nations are in an uproar. But he said, I've installed my king. I've installed the king, the one that I've said is going to be king over it all. I've already made that installation. Where they're uproaring, taking a stand, or taking counsel against me, I've already done what needs to be done. And that's what God is saying. I've already done what needs to be done. I've already established him. And he is the king. He'll be the king of all the kings. He said, king upon Zion, my holy mountain. Verse 8, I will surely give the nations as thine inheritance. What is he saying? Matter of fact, as a king that I've installed, his inheritance will be nations. The ones that's in an uproar, they're his. As an inheritance. Do you hear what I'm saying? He said, and the nations will be his inheritance. So we have to understand that God's already planned, has already planned this, and it's going to happen. When he returns, he'll get all the nations. So we have to see that God's at work even when nations are roaring, planning against God. And then he says over in, these nations are his inheritance, and the very ends of the earth is his possession. Boy, I tell you, when God makes a statement, he clears up the roar, doesn't he? Yeah. They may still want to roar, but he clears up the roar about what we can, as a people of God, what we need to expect. Yeah, they're roaring. Yeah, they're saying all kinds of things, and they're taking their stand against us. But guess what? Jesus is still the king. And the nations that are roaring is his inheritance. And all the possessions of the earth are his. Now, that's just, I like how God speaks, don't you? I like the way he explains things. You know, when we feel the tension that's in the earth today, he tells it up. He said, listen, I know what they're doing. I know what's going on, but you need to understand that I've already established who's king. I've already established who has the final authority. I've already established that his inheritance is going to be the ones that's doing all the uproar. And all the possessions of earth will be his. Oh, it's just powerful thing to look at. Then over in, then he says this in verse 10. Now therefore, O kings, with a little K. That's all these little guys that are, you know, making all these big boasts about doing away with God and not just we don't want to hear about the Messiah anymore. He said, now show discernment. All you kings, you need to act wisely. That's what that word means. You need to act wisely. And this is what God's telling all the nations. You need to act wisely. You need to have some discernment here. So what is this discernment about? He says, and then he says, worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. How blessed are all who take refuge in him. So even with all this going on, he begins to tell them, all right, you earthly kings, and really everybody that's in authority that's on the earth, he said, you need to take notice. You need to take notice. So he's established there's a notice being given to all the earth. Look, you need to take notice. You need to worship. You need to worship the very one that I've sent. You need to worship the Lord and give him reverence, give him respect, give him honor, and rejoice with trembling. Then he goes on and says, how blessed it is for those who take refuge in him. And he's also saying, you can take refuge, and you can take refuge in him. Over in Psalms 82, verse 8, it says, arise, O King. Now, he's talking here to arise, O God. He's talking here to arise, and he's talking about Jesus. He said, arise, God. Judge the earth, for you shall inherit all the nations. There it is again, spoken, you shall inherit all the nations. That word nations in that means, listen to this, it means people groups. People groups. Nations. People groups. So wherever there's a people group that of the same background, same beliefs and everything, wherever that people group is, by the way, they don't have to be a nation. As we consider a nation, like a nation of Israel, a nation of the United States, then it doesn't have to be that way. It can be, but he said it's people groups. In the New Testament, it's ethnos, which is ethnic groups. It's people groups that have the same background and likeness. So he's saying all people groups. This is what gets me going. He said, all people groups, he said, they're my inheritance. The ones that's doing things against him today, he said, you're his inheritance. You hear what I'm saying? So he's going to deal with them in such a way that they will be an inheritance to the Son. We think maybe God is through with the nations. No, he's not. He's doing a lot in the nations even today. He's doing a lot in every nation, in every ethnic group. And you think this group, this people group that's against God, well, you know, they're done for. Mm-mm. I know there's coming a time when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. When the reality of God begins to hit people, when the reality of God begins to hit people, you begin to see things that you've never seen before and you never thought would happen. So that's the God we serve. That's the God we love. So, what has this got to do with influence? Well, let's go to Isaiah chapter 2, and it says this, now it shall come to pass in the latter days. Okay, there it is. That's Isaiah talking about the end times, the latter days. That the mountain of the Lord's house, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains, the other mountains. The mountain of the Lord's house. So you begin to see Isaiah prophesying about this, and he's saying, look, at the end time, when the latter times begin to come, at the end, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of all the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. That word exalted means to jet up. So all of a sudden, you begin to see it. You begin to see it. It's going to be established, and it's going to jet upwards. It said they will be exalted above the hills, and all the nations, all the people groups shall do what? Oh, it's not up there. I'm sorry. When you look at the Bible, it said shall flow to it. You hear what it says? In the last times, there's going to be a flow upward. Flow is usually downward. there's going to be a flow upward to God. They're going to, and they're going to flow upward. And it says, and many people shall come in that flow. Many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. So now you begin to see in the last days there's going to be a move of God that's going to take place, that's going to cause people to go to the mountain of God, which the house of mountain of the house of God. And I'm telling you, there's going to be revival that we've never seen. See, revival is for those that don't know him. Revival's not for you as a saved person. You don't need reviving. You're already alive in him. Y'all hear me? You know, we misuse that word a lot of times. What we need is revival. The lost people need revival. What God's people needs is transformation. Transformations come when we renew our minds with the Word of God and think like he does and agree with his thinking. He said, and you'll be transformed. You're already born again, but you've not been transformed yet. See, revival is for those that don't know Jesus. Why? Because they're not alive. Revive, it means to bring life into. Okay. You know, that's the reason, you know, when we see revival signs all out in churchyards, you know, that means we're bringing in the lost. But church people don't have revival if they're born again. We need transformation. We already have life. We're not dead. We're alive. We may not be walking with him. We need to repent if we're not following him, but that's not revival. That's repentance. Okay. I didn't mean to go there, but I did. But it is okay, because we need to understand what we're talking about. We need to really understand. We really need to capture what it is the Bible talks about. You don't even see revival in the New Testament. It's an Old Testament. Transformations in the New Testament. Being converted, being a new creation. That's us being born again. But we're not transformed yet, because our transformation is our maturity, our growing up in God. We can still be a baby and be in the church for 20 years and still be a baby, because there's no transformation. So we don't need to do that. But anyway, then he said, come, let us go up to this mountain, the mountain of the Lord and the house of God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. See, this is the ethnic groups coming up saying, this is where we are headed. Think about what God's going to do to make that happen. Well, see, it's already been prophesied that it's going to happen. Then Micah says the same thing over in Micah chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. It says, it shall come about in the last days. He uses the last days. That the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of all mountains. The chief of all the, it's the chief mountain. It's the one that is above all the others. And it will be raised above the hills, and the peoples will stream to it. Peoples will stream to it. And many nations will say, once again, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, the house of God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and he shall walk, and we shall walk in his paths. So you get two prophets beginning to explain that this is coming. This is coming. Well, once again, you may say, well, Pastor, where does that leave us? Okay. Are you ready? You want to know how to influence that? Yeah. Nobody? I got one. I'll talk to you today. I'll talk. Okay, you too? Okay, well, you too. All right. I'm just messing with y'all when I do that. I really am. See, Matthew chapter 5 is the words of Jesus, and here it comes. Are you ready? Here's the wind-up, and here's the pitch. And it's a strike, by the way. He says this, you, say me. Point to your neighbor, point to them, you and me. Are you ready? You are the salt of the earth. What is that? What does salt do to your food? It influences your food. What does it influence it to do? Change. Okay. You are the salt of the earth. If salt has lost its, has become tasteless, how will it be made salty again? It is good for nothing. It's not good for anything anymore except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You, say me, you are the light of the world. What does light influence? Darkness. Salt influences the earth. We are influencers. Jesus put that upon us with his authority and his power, said, this is who you are on this earth. You're salt. You're the seasoning that will make other people thirsty for who I am. Okay. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. And then it says, let your light so shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Do you see that? Here it is. You're the salt and you're the light and you're doing the works of God and others are watching. If you're not doing the works of God, others are watching. But he said, nope, you're salt and you're light. You're the influencers in this earth. You're going to help make this happen. Your influence is going to help make this happen. See, we influence the earth and the world with the gospel of the kingdom of God. We influence the world. Salt and light begins to invade all the dark places, turning things upside down, and transformation begins to happen. Revival happens and transformation begins to happen. Transformation needs to happen here. Why do I know that? Because we're not. Is anybody not? If I ask this question, how many of you have? How many of you have all of God? I'm going to go on this side. Yeah, I saw that hand, brother. So how many of you have all of God? How many of you have half of him? How many of you got just a little bit of God? Just a little bit of Jesus? You didn't get all of him, you just got a little bit of him. You get it? When you receive God, when you received Christ, when you received him, you received all of it. It wasn't a trick question. It really wasn't. It wasn't a trick. It was just, it's the truth. You don't have a little Jesus. He doesn't need to grow up in you. He doesn't need to mature. He's already mature inside you. Everything that he is and has ever been is already inside you. Amen. We just got to work that out in our soul. Y'all behave. Yeah, I know y'all. So, but see, transformation happens when he gets more and more of. How many of you are walking more in what God wants you to do than you ever have. See, now, what you're doing is you're being transformed as you walk on a daily basis. That's transformation. So, anyway, so these nations have got to be transformed. But when we look at, let me ask you this. What are some influences that are there to influence us?
Joy.
Do what?
Joy.
Joy. Okay. What are some of the influences that are out there that we really have to watch out for? Is what? What else? Media. Do y'all have to watch out for the media? Do you have to watch out on the media? Surely they wouldn't lie to you. See, we're being influenced. There's influences out there. Let me give you. Will you want to say another one? Anybody wants to say another one?
What you hear and what you see.
What?
What you hear and what you see.
All right. Anybody else?
Politics.
I get it. All right, listen to these. Influencers. Religion. Is religion an influencer? Does it influence you? It can. And do you know it can influence you toward God or it can influence you toward another God? It can influence you to be a legalistic person or a person of grace. So that one of the other, but it's going to influence us one way or the other. So religion is an influence. Is that true? Absolutely. You were somehow influenced by somebody to accept Christ with the Holy Spirit moving in their life and moving in your life. Here's another one. Family. Is family an influencer?
Yes.
Sure. Can you be influenced in a bad way by family?
Yes.
Both ways. Can you be influenced toward God in your family?
Yes.
Family's an influencer.
Yes.
Okay. How about this one? Government.
Yes.
Is government an influencer? Absolutely. It can influence you toward God. It can be a godly example leading you in the path. Can they do that? Absolutely. They can make laws that are godly. But they can also make laws that are ungodly. Are y'all okay with that? So we have to understand the reality of that. You know, we've got people in government that will lie to you about anything and everything and smile. And there's some godly people that are in government. See, they will either restrain evil or they'll influence more evil. God made male and female, not 400 others. He made male and female. And he said, and male and female can come together in marriage. that there's people in government that says, no, we're going to make that broader. You know what they're saying? No, we're going to shed this thing about God. Like the other king. We're going to get rid of this thing. And we're going to do it the way we want to do it. We're going to do it the way we think it needs to be done. So we're going to get rid of God, and we're going to get rid of Jesus. Because we can't control them. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's a part of our government can be exactly opposite of what God wants to do. So they need our influence. Are you hearing me? They need our influence. They need our words. They need our cry. They need to hear what God has to say through us. Let me tell you this. If they're not following God and you don't like what they're doing, vote them out. That's one way to do it. Give them a call. Give your representative a call. Write them a letter. Send them an email. I don't agree with this. And I want you to take a stand against it. I want you to take a stand for God and not for this. Do you hear what I'm saying? So why? Because we're salt. We're light. We get active in doing this thing that Jesus wants us to do so the nations can be delivered to him. Are y'all okay? Yeah. Said, Pastor, you being political? No, I'm being biblical. Media. He said media. There's one. They interpret the information through the lens of either good or evil. They'll wear the lens and they'll interpret through as evil or as good. Well, what do you want me to do, Pastor? Call the news station. Write them a letter. Talk to them about it. Say, well, I don't want to do that. Well, then, what are you going to do? We are sent. We're set on this earth to make love God, love people, make a difference. You know what that make a difference means? Influence people toward God. Does that make sense? We are the influencers of these things that are trying to influence us. Listen, I don't try to start bans. We need to ban this. I got certain products that I will not buy. You hearing me? Because of their position of what they've done. There's a well-known coffee place that I used to drink coffee there. I don't drink coffee there anymore. Brenda said, You've got cards that people have given you that have already been paid for. At least just go get your coffee. And I said, I won't give them the pleasure of me going in there. But once again, you do what you want. I'm not. This is not something for you. This is me. This is something I've got to make a stand myself of what I will do and what I won't do. But when a CEO of a company says, I don't need Christians. I don't care if another Christian comes or not. I don't need them. We don't need them to survive. And you know what I said? See ya. I didn't go to them and say, see ya. I just didn't go back in. Y'all... But you haven't got me. You haven't seen me stand up and say, don't do this, don't do that. I'm not telling you. You got to make your own mind up of where you're going and what you're going to support and what you're not going to support. That's influencing. I've seen several companies, and you have too. I've seen several companies in the last 6 months or a year that went woke and regretted going. And they hit reverse real quick and started backing up because profits started surrendering. You know what did that? Influence. They didn't get together. Just people said, no, I'm not going to do that. Y'all hear what I'm saying? There's an influence that we have that will change the world. It will change minds. Arts, entertainment, movies. It'll either celebrate your values or celebrate every value that you don't have. Business. Business can be run by the spirit of mammon. It's all about money and not about people. Okay. So there's seven of them. So we need to step into our sphere of influence and begin to make a difference, because Jesus is coming back and he's going to inherit the nations. He's going to inherit these people groups that need our influence on their life. Do you all agree with that? Five of you do, I know. So, the thing is, this is our place. We are set in as salt. We are set in as light. Let your light so shine that when you walk the walk that you're supposed to walk, people will see your good works and they will glorify your Father who is in heaven. They won't even know why, other than the fact that they see something that's different, and they see the power of God, they see the love of God, they see the virtue of God and of the Holy Spirit inside you. Now, I forgot who said it. It was somebody said, by all means, witness. By all means, witness. And if you have to, use words. Chuck Colson. Yeah, I knew somebody famous. I just forgot him. He said, by all means, witness. And if you have to, use words. What is he saying? By all means, witness to everybody with your living. And if you have to, use words. But if you use words without the living, they already know you're a phony. So your effectiveness in this earth of being salt and light will be to the degree that you use your influence. I'm telling you, God loves you so much that he gave you the position. Point to yourself. Point right here. He gave you and I the position of being salt of the earth and being light of the world. And he wouldn't have done that if he felt like we couldn't do it. We can't do it without him. He said, I'll empower you to do it. Everything I've given you to do, I've given you grace to do it. Because Jesus is coming back. Well, I've got three major influences, or three ways to maximize your influence. Next week. I want to hear those words. Come, let us go up to people talking that never don't even know God, you know, but they know something's happening. So let's go up this mountain of God. Let's go up this mountain of the Lord, and let's hear what he's got to say, and he'll teach us his ways, and we'll walk in his paths. I'm so hungry to hear those words. The desperation, but the desperation of people groups saying, we don't know what to do. So which way is the mountain? Where do we need to go? And the church needs to be ready. We need to be ready. We need to be ready for this change to happen. When it clicks and it happens, we need to be ready to show them how to get there. Instead of saying, I've heard about that mountain myself, but I don't know how to get there. No, we don't need to be that people. We need to be the people that knows exactly where to take them. Come, let's go up. What they're saying is, take me there. Come, take me there. Let's go up. Let us go up to this mountain, the house of the Lord, that he may teach us his ways and we may walk in his paths. Boy, I love that, don't you? I love that. I love that that's coming. I love it. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I know God. Don't you? I know God. God don't lie. God don't lie. All he's trying to do is get his people ready. He's getting us ready. And we have got to influence. Everywhere we go, we have got to influence others with the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom. About his love, about his salvation. That no matter what they've done, here's forgiveness. Here's acceptance from the Father. Yeah. Okay.
Good morning. So several months ago, I had a dream, and I dreamed that I was at Isothermal, in the foundation parking lot, and I was waiting for somebody to come out of the foundation in the parking lot. And while I was there, I got out of the car and was just walking around. And Jesus appeared to me. He came up and he started talking to me. And I said, Jesus, is that you? Is that really you? He said, yeah, it's me. He said, I know who you are and you know who I am. My sister Penny walked up and I said, Jesus, can I tell her who you are? He said, Penny knows me and I know her. But I'm telling you, you better tell everybody you know because I'm coming and it ain't going to be long.
Keep coming. Amen. Hallelujah. If you believe he's coming, stand to your feet.
Interpretation a little bit there. What? The foundation. That's the part.
Foundation. And be ready. Be ready. You got to be ready, be active, and do what God wants you to do. A preacher was preaching one time and said, everybody wants to go to heaven, stand up. And everybody stood up but one man. And that bothered the preacher, so he went to that one man, and he said, did you understand my question? He said, yeah, everybody wants to go to heaven, stand up. He said, well, you're sitting down. He said, I know. He said, why aren't you standing up? Don't you want to go to heaven? Yeah. He said, why aren't you standing up? He said, I thought you was getting up a busload now. I shouldn't have told that, should I? No, but really, you got to be ready. Because now may be now. He may use you today to say something about the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, that's going to turn somebody's thought process and make them think more about the Lord and may even bring them to the Lord. Don't put it aside. Just step right into it and influence people. Does anybody need to accept Christ today? You haven't accepted Christ as your Savior, but you want to. Anybody, you want to, and you want to do it today. You don't want to wait. You want to do it right now. Okay. So we're all brothers and sisters. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your love, your word. Thank you for your instructions, your wisdom, your teaching. Thank you for the Holy Spirit here with us today. And Father, we love you, we worship you, and we just ask you that you would inspire us to influence others, to influence these nations, that when Jesus does come, he will have all these nations as an inheritance, that we have influenced with the gospel of the kingdom. We love you, we worship you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. I got three things to tell you next week, so come on back.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.